wrestling fans, are you ready?
Yes, 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 yes.
For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, let's get ready to rumble!
And now, please welcome at this time your hosts, Graham GSM Matthews and RJ Marceau. You're listening to the next era of wrestling radio. This is Wrestle Rant Radio.
Back in Wrestle Rant Radio for Thursday, March 7, 2024, following a two-week absence. Hiatus, Mr. Marceau is back in the biggest return in Wrestle Rant Radio history. Brother, what's going on? I missed you.
I'm doing good. I thought I was Future Endeavor today. You were a little late today. I was a little concerned.
I almost hit you with that Future Endeavors tweet like it was 2014 all over again, but you are back. I told you yesterday you're reinstated, so we're well on the road to WrestleMania here. I need you to help me break down all the stuff from the past week, including Revolution on Sunday, some highlights from that show. A lot of AEW news that I'm actually going to start the show with here today compared to the usual WWE stuff. There was plenty of WWE stuff to talk about, and we will, in addition to stuff from last week that you missed that I want to get your thoughts on. Before we get into any of that, though, new episodes of the show every single week on Thursdays, WrestleRant.com, WrestleRantRadio.com, iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, Podbean, Amazon Music, and Pandora. Rate the show, review the show, subscribe to the show. Never miss a new episode every single Thursday. So, Mr. Marceau, like I said, I want to start off with some AEW stuff here just because there was a lot of AEW news this week, from suspensions, departures, good stuff, bad stuff, a lot of stuff in the middle, from Revolution, Dynamite last night, kind of hitting the reset button in a way, kicking off a new era for the company, which I feel like is like their millionth new era, but you can say the same thing for WWE as well. For AEW Revolution, first of all, on Sunday, though, I thought overall it was a pretty good show. People calling it one of their greatest shows yet. It was certainly one of their strongest shows in a while. I will say that much. It was a strong show overall. Fun show. Some really good matches. Obviously newsworthy for Sting's retirement match in the main event. Will Ospreay's in-ring debut. A few returns. A title change. And some other stuff. But overall impressions of the pay-per-view. Like it. Didn't like it. And we'll get into the bigger headlines in a second from the show, like Sting's retirement. But just wanted to get your overall impressions of the pay-per-view from this past weekend.
From what I saw, it was pretty good. I didn't see much everything. I watched kind of like just cop on Monday, like kind of what I saw people were talking about. Mm-hmm. From what I saw, it was pretty good. I watched Ospreay and Takeshka, the main event with Sting and Darby and the Young Bucks in the world title match. I kind of glossed over some other things, but I kind of tried to pick out what people were talking about and watch those. So from what I saw, I thought it was pretty good.
Well, that's perfect that you watched that stuff, because that's exactly what I was going to ask you about. So Sting did retire on Sunday, as we all knew he would. Sting's last stand, so to speak, for the AEW World Tag Team titles. Walking into the show, the AEW World Tag Team Champion. Walking out of the show, still AEW World Tag Team Champion, alongside Darby Allin. A tornado match. Listen, I was just saying this to Randy Cruz right before we hit record here, when I was talking to him earlier. The match was a spectacle is what I would call it. I really, really dug the match, but I'm not going to sit here and say if you specifically did not like the match, I'm not going to blame you or argue with you about it, because I know there's a lot of things about this that you're not going to like. A lot of no-selling, a lot of smoke and mirrors, a lot of, like, bullshit. Like, Sting is 64 years old. Him kicking out of as much shit as he did is pretty fucking ridiculous. The whole match was ridiculous. The Darby spot was ridiculous. I thought overall, though, it was great. I do believe, personally, it was one of the best retirement matches I've seen, best send-offs for any wrestler that I've seen. The Ric Flair one stands out, but this match was better, I think. And he also won, which you don't typically see, and I like the fact that he won. I kind of figured the Bucks would win. That was my prediction. But then Sting turned around and won the whole thing, and then he kind of retires undefeated in AEW, which is pretty cool. But your thoughts on the match itself, as far as it being Sting's final farewell from AEW, and what we saw in the match, from the wild-ass Darby spot, how unnecessary it was. And again, I thought it was a cool spectacle. If the guy wants to go out there and do dumb stuff, whatever. Tony Khan apparently is not going to stop him. I thought it was worthy for the occasion, but I know you probably don't share those same sentiments.
Kid knows me too well. I mean, it, like you said, it was what it was, I guess. It's just not my cup of tea. It just never has been. I don't think it ever will be. Like you said, the no selling. It's just not what I like in wrestling. So just the more I see it, the more I just like it turns me away, I guess. Like you said, I don't know. I think you said you thought it was a great set. I mean, I guess like you won. I guess I won. Wasn't like a great match. I would say, like you said, it was more like it's just a happening. I don't know. I just the whole garbage stuff, him kicking out a ton. It's just not for me at the end of the day, I guess, is the best way to put it. It's just not what I like to watch. So it was fine for what it was. Like you said, he won. So that's a positive. But besides that, like, I don't know. People are saying, like, the greatest send-off ever. To me, it just, I mean, it was a match that he's never had. So it's not like it was, like, kind of like a touchback to old Sting moments or anything like that. It was just kind of like a modern-day furniture match with him, like you said, kicking out of everything. The glass spots to me were extremely stupid. It's just not my cup of tea at the end of the day.
I think I'm somewhere in the middle where I know you just absolutely hate this stuff. I don't prefer it either. It's not my cup of tea either, but I'll take it and enjoy it if it's done sparingly. And I think my biggest problem, I don't really have a problem with the match, but my biggest critique of the match, if I had one, was the fact that we see this shit so often in this company specifically. Like, they do this shit in almost every single show. I'm not talking pay-per-views. I'm talking every single week on AEW television. I watched a death match between Orange Cassidy and Matt fucking Taven a couple weeks ago. Why? That served no purpose being a Texas death match, but
well, that's like last night they had Hook versus Brian Cage in like a garbage match.
Exactly, and that was a fine no DQ match. It didn't get nearly as crazy as this did, but they do garbage matches all the time. WWE did two street fights in 1 week last week, but they're not nearly as. I mean, again, there's a happy medium though. You can have a street fight that's hardcore enough without resorting to glass and dumb shit like that constantly. They do it all the time. So to the point where it just doesn't feel special. For this instance, for me, it did. For you, I can get why it didn't. My other question for you, you kind of already answered this. You like the fact that Sting won, though, because I'm glad he did, because I didn't think he would. No one ever really does win in their last match. And I understand the notion of putting over the talent of tomorrow on the way out, the current generation, whatever. One, the Bucks did not need it. And two, it's not very often you see anyone have a run in a wrestling company go undefeated and Sting did. So I like that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't really bother. I mean, if anything, if it was anyone else, maybe I would have been more critique-y on him winning. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the Bucks. Like I've said 1,000 times, I'm just not a big fan of them in general. So them losing didn't bother. I mean, I was happy they lost, honestly. So, but like I said, I guess the only one thing, the downside of him, like, yeah, it's nice that he won, but it's just, okay, now we're going to have another tournament to describe. Oh, my God, 1,000 tournaments, so I wish it didn't have to go to that direction, but obviously with him winning and retiring as champion, that's where it's going. But I just feel like the tournament for AEW specifically, just kind of, it's done. Like you said, talk about street fights or new DQ matches, we've had 1,000 tournaments.
Yeah, no, they do tournaments quite a bit. And WWE's done their fair share as well in the past year or two, specifically in NXT. They've had like three in a row for the last couple of months in NXT, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, AEW, Tony Khan specifically loves his tournaments. We're getting one for the now vacant AEW World Tag Team titles. Does any one team stand out as far as being the team that you think will take those championships or that you would want to see win those belts? Because to me, there's no obvious suspect aside from probably the Bucks.
I was gonna say, I'm just thinking out loud, like who could even beat them? I mean, Big Bill and Starks were the champions. I don't think they'll win them again. FTR, like maybe Blackpool Combat Club, like Claudio and Moxley, maybe. I think at the end of the day, it really just goes back to the Bucks, just with the story they're telling. But no one else really pops out. Like I can't even think of another team that would even in contention at this point. So those three teams that I mentioned, but I think at the end of the day I'll probably be Bucks.
I want to make a quick note of this real quick. You mentioned Ricky Starks. I know it was kind of making the rounds last week from only people online, no real credible source, that Starks was now a free agent because we haven't seen him on the show in about 3 weeks to a month. They haven't mentioned him. I think they mentioned him on Dynamite last night and having lost a Hook in the past, but that was really about it. he hasn't really been brought up or acknowledged since then, which isn't that out of the ordinary. I don't think he's hurt. It's more a matter of I don't think they know what Tony Khan doesn't really know what to do with him right now, and they're holding him off on TV until he's ready to come back. He was asked at the press conference after the pay-per-view, is Ricky Starks a free agent? Or maybe it was on the press call before the show, I don't remember. But he specifically said, no, he's not a free agent. That does not mean, though, that his contract isn't up soon. The fact that there's a difference between having an expiring contract soon and being a free agent. So he could still very well be there now. That doesn't mean that he won't be a free agent within a couple of months. I honestly think there might be smoke to the fire there. I don't want to put on my tinfoil hat, but I think there is a chance that Stark's contract could be up this year and that he could be on his way out, and they really don't know how to use him before he leaves. But that could just be my own opinion, though.
No, I mean, I feel like I've heard the rumors that he's kind of on the way out. There's other people that have been speculating their contracts are coming up soon. I mean, for him, there's an opportunity with WWE. I don't know why you wouldn't take it. I feel like before he won the belts with Big Bill, and honestly, I feel like they started gaining some steam before they lost the belts to Sting and Darby as a team. But since they lost, they haven't been on the show. So, I mean, for him, I feel like, he's a big Cody guy. I feel like it makes sense for him to go to WWE. I mean, what he's done in AEW has been great. He's kind of jumped around factions, really hasn't found his footing. When they found his footing, it just felt like he was like a B-plus player, never really got to the next level, and then he kind of had this tag team with Big Billy. So I feel like they started just getting momentum right when they lost the belts, and then it kind of fell apart from there. Mm-hmm. So, wouldn't shock me if his deal's up soon, they don't come to an agreement.
Hopefully he'll fare better at a tryout with WWE than QT Marshall did. I mean, he was pretty straightforward. To his credit, was QT Marshall. I saw the interview we did with Bill Apter about a week or two ago, and he was like, yeah, I spoke with WWE when my contract with AEW expired, and we weren't really on the same page. And he said the talks went well, but they weren't really on the same page as far as what he wanted to do and what they wanted him to do. And I think I read that as he wanted to wrestle, and they wanted him probably to be a producer or an agent. And, I mean, he could probably have to start in NXT, which who gives a shit at that point? Who even really cares that much about QT Marshall in general as an on-air talent? So then he went back to AEW as well. We didn't really discuss that at the time, but that got a good laugh out of me as far as the fact that, you know, there were all these reports about, oh, he doesn't like the direction AEW is going and blah, blah, blah. And he mentioned in the interview that he kind of confirmed that was the case. And he's like, well, that was the direction we were going in October. I'm like, it's March. I mean, has the company direction really changed all that much in 2 or 3 months? I mean, I don't think so. But, I mean, that's just me watching as a fan. I don't know. But he is back. Back to Revolution, though. Will Ospreay's in-ring debut, I thought, was the best match on the show by far. Beating Takeshita, I thought they had a great match. Again, the problem, again, if I had only one critique, it was that, like, certain spots. This is why I don't really think they utilize the agents or the producers that are doing these matches. Like, they don't utilize them to their full potential as far as, are they not talking to each other? Like, why do we see some of the same stuff on the same show with AEW constantly? Where they do the same shit where someone hits a finisher and then the person kicks out at one. Like, I don't like that spot in general, but if they do it, again, sparingly, I'm okay with it. They did it twice on the same show with Sting and Will Ospreay in almost back-to-back matches. It's like, can you not space it out a little bit better? But other than that, I thought the match was great. He won. No shit. No real surprise there. Got a great reaction beating Kyle Fletcher on Wednesday as well. What do you think Will Ospreay's ceiling is in AEW? And what were your thoughts on his first two matches as the AEW roster as a first official member of the roster?
I mean, I think his ceiling's high depending on the booking. I mean, at this point, it seems like they're going to push him pretty far up there. I feel like his style is exactly what fans of AEW like. I mean, just a lot of work rate, like you said, a lot of kickouts, a lot of big moves that kick out of. I don't even like to know how to describe it, but I feel like that. I think when you say the agents, I think that's to a point. It's like there's only so much they can do because I feel like I said, I feel like a lot of the matches are based. There's no real story. It's just a lot, like you said, work rate or big moves or stuff like that is kind of like what they're going for. So. To me, like I've said before, it's not my cup of tea. I mean, I think anyone can go out there and hit 1,000 moves and everyone can kick out of them. And if that's good, then I think pretty much anyone in a major company could do that if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, for what people's reaction was, I feel like it's, like I said, if you like that kind of style of match and you like it, like I said, I don't care for, like, hitting four moves and got kicked out of one. And to me, it doesn't really make much sense. And then normally he won with his elbow. I think it's, I don't even know the name of it. I'm pretty sure it's his finish with the elbow. But most of the time, especially in those matches, they win by like a fucking roll up or something.
Yeah.
They hit him with a bazooka and then they pin him with like an easy move. So, like I said, I think his potential's endless, especially there. Like I said, I think he fits a style that they like and people like it. I mean, I think it's like I said, if you like work rate and all that stuff, you would love these two matches. Storyline wise, it doesn't really make any sense. Like, why would Callis want him to face his own guys?
No sense at all.
And then they beat him, yeah. And then they get up and hug and kiss, and they like same thing happened last night. Like, he beat Kyle Fletcher, and then they just got up like nothing, like nothing happened. Like, oh, we're good friends still. I figured after he beat Takeshka, like they turn on him, kind of go full face for Ospreay, but that's not where it went. But like I said, if you like the work rate, that style of matching, then he's literally like the perfect star that they have right now.
Yeah, no, that's the other critique I had of it, that it makes no sense as to why he's facing members of his own faction. Don Callis is one of the worst managers, if that's the case. Oh, let's put our two best people against each other. If they hurt each other, then that's fine. Like, well, that makes no sense, dude, but whatever. Hopefully they do turn on him soon or he leaves. He's pretty much a babyface. The people respond to him as a babyface, so that seems to be inevitable. One last thing on Revolution. Kyle O'Reilly back for the first time in almost 2 years following the International Championship match. Roderick Strong is the new AEW International Champion, beating Orange Cassidy for the belt on the pay-per-view. Kyle O'Reilly coming back afterward, teasing that he might join Undisputed Kingdom before kind of walking away. And he did speak last night in a backstage promo, not really giving much away. So they're doing the will he join or will he not join. I'm not really sure where they're going with this, but I'm just back. Kyle O'Reilly's. I'm just glad he's back. So, your thoughts on Kyle O'Reilly returning and where you see this whole storyline going from here?
Nice to see him back. He was gone for a while, I think, like a neck injury. So it's glad to see that he's back, clearly cleared to compete, which is good. The whole storyline, I mean, I feel like it's kind of like that will he join, and eventually, like, he'll seemingly not join, and then he'll join and screw someone over, because that's, I feel like, the premise for a lot of storylines. So I think eventually he'll act like he's not gonna, eventually he'll join, and then he'll just be another guy in the group once we get going here.
Yeah, they need it, dude. I mean, this group really needs it. I know Roddy won the title, and that's great. They also interrupted Joe and Swerve at the beginning of Dynamite on Wednesday. This group is as cold as ice right now as Undisputed Kingdom. I mean, their debut I liked. I was there for it. It went over well, and I like all the members in the group. I like the chemistry there. It's great. The booking has been awful. Like, I know Cole is hurt. He is not intimidating sitting there in a fucking wheelchair cutting promos. It's not good. Wardlow won on Sunday, which is great. They're starting to kind of get back some of that momentum from earlier this year, but they need to put them back at the forefront. We'll talk about Wardlow shortly, but I mean, the Kyle thing at least makes it somewhat interesting, so I like that. And then you have the Kingdom losing like 5 minutes to Joe and Swerve to kick off the show in a match that probably did not need to happen. But, you know, it is what it is. They kind of have to get back on track with that. Some other AEW news here. Sammy Guevara was suspended by AEW this week. So Fightful Select reported that he was suspended because of the Jeff Hardy match. Now, why we're just finding out about this now, I don't know. Now, the Jeff match actually happened before the Powerhouse Hobbs match. That was either the next night or the next week. But this was a few weeks ago that this happened. So he had a match with Jeff. Long story short, had a match with Jeff. Jeff got concussed with Sammy doing a dumb move off the top rope. And then, you know, we were wondering, and I had mentioned, and we talked about it briefly, and other people brought up the same thing. Why is the referee not suspended? Like, why would the referee not shorten the match or whatever? The report indicated that Sammy was in referee protocol, as was Jeff, and he proceeded to hit him with his GTS finisher anyway, his whatever he calls it, and he won the match that way. So he still picked Jeff up and did a move to him, even though apparently, presumably, reportedly, he knew that he was concussed, which is pretty fucking dumb. So Sammy suspended. As far as we know, the referee is not, but it sounds like Sammy was suspended because he heard that he was concussed, did it anyway, and the referee, again, I'm not really sure why he wouldn't have just stopped the match. Was the idea to have him roll him up? Like, the whole thing is weird. Maybe we don't have all the details yet. It's odd, but what's your whole take on the situation? And did AEW do the right thing by suspending Sammy Guevara in this, if these details are accurate?
I mean, at the end of the day, Sammy's expendable, so it's not, like, a huge deal. But like you said, I think, seemingly like the referee would be like, just roll him up or like finish it or call the match off. Not sure what happened there. I mean, Tony's at fucking Gorilla. Can't he? I mean, he's in Shivani's ear constantly. He can't just be like, stop the match. I don't know. Like, I feel like Sammy's just a perfect scapegoat. Like you said, I mean, how would you technically know that he's concussed? I mean, I mean, yeah, he could be dazed, but I don't know exactly if you know he's concussed. Like I said, if they told him he's concussed and I don't want to say, hey, just beat him and then he picked him up and hit him with his finish. Yeah, is that dumb? Yeah, but like I said, like, I feel like they're producer, Tony, the referee, the doctor. I mean, there's other people that are also to blame. I mean, you clearly can tell this guy's messed up and you let it continue. I mean, I think there's more people to blame than Guevara. I mean, he has had a history of injuring people. Like the whole Matt Hardy thing. I feel like he's definitely landed on other people as well. So it's not obviously ideal, but when you keep letting this guy go out there and do it, I mean, you're pretty much an enabler. Like, the next night or the next show, you had the match with fucking Hobbs. He was doing a swanton from the ring to the floor. I mean, through a table. Like, why would you let him do that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's clearly what gets Sammy over. I feel like he's a high flyer and does those moves, and that's what people like about him. If he has, I don't know how many fans he's got rolling, banging down his door, but, I mean, that's what made him special or made people interested in him to begin with, but I mean, if you can't do it correctly, then don't do it. And Tony's the one that keeps enabling him to keep doing this stuff because every match he has is like a ladder, no DQ match that he's doing stupid shit in to begin with. So I don't even think the Jeff Hardy one was, but, I mean, at the end of the day, you keep enabling someone to do it, it's going to keep happening.
Yeah, I think you're right, though. I think it's definitely indicative of a bigger issue going on right now in that company as far as... I feel like we see this concussion stuff a lot where we hear that people are concussed in a match and they continue the match anyway. I mean, the Matt Hardy one was just egregious back in All Out 2020. And then it happened, I think, maybe not long after. I don't know if it was a year later with the Dark Order. Alex Reynolds got hurt in a match. And I don't know if you remember, but they fucking dragged him.
Yeah, I remember
that.
That was during COVID, so I think it was around the same time.
Okay,
someone I don't know who hit him with the move. It might have been I don't know if it was one of the Bucks. They were in the match. I don't remember who was in the match. But yeah, like, someone, like, dropped him on his head, and they, like, instead of, pulling, I think, like, one of the Butcher and Blades, like, literally just, like, pulled him to the fucking corner and tagged him out. And he was just done-ski. So,
yeah,
there's definitely been a history.
No, yeah, it's happened more times than it definitely should have. And I know they're a newer company, but they've also been around for 5 years. I mean, this shit should not be continuing to happen. So, I mean, I'm glad they took action. I mean, I know you had said originally maybe suspension's too harsh. And I agree with that, but... You know, that's just a band-aid on a bigger wound. Not with Guevara. I mean, it is with Guevara, but with the overall company and not taking this stuff more seriously. Moxley kind of came out and called out. I mean, he said across wrestling in general that all promotions should be taking greater care of their performers and doing concussion tests and stuff. Honestly, I read that as him not intentionally taking a shot at AEW, though. Just because them, more than probably any other company, just continue to make the same mistakes. WWE, I'm not saying they're perfect by any means, and, you know, there's been a history there as well. But at least in recent months anywhere, in recent times, they've stopped the match. If someone got hurt, or specifically concussed, or they thought they got concussed, they just stopped the match. Then the other person just wins by referee stoppage. And it sucks, but that's just the case. So, you know, hopefully they can work on that. A departure from AEW this week as well. Totally forgot about this until I heard about it this morning or heard about it again this morning. I'm like, oh, yeah, I kind of forgot about that. Santana gone from the company. So not overly surprising. He had his last match on Rampage with Ortiz, I think in October. So like 4 or 5 months ago, they feuded after they... It makes no sense. So like Santana or... Yeah, it was Santana that was hurt. He came back for All In. Him and Ortiz reunited on that show. And then subsequently said, we're not really back together, we're going to feud. Okay, that doesn't really make a lot of sense, but okay. So then they feud. No one really is paying attention because it's happening entirely on Rampage. They have a match, a pretty good match. That Santana wins, and it seemingly they were building him up as a single star. And then clearly Tony Khan had no plans for him afterwards. So either that or he was pitching him stuff and Santana said no, which seems to be the case with Miro and other people, which is just, it's like... If they're not going to do what you want them to do, then they're not worth the headache. Just get the... I don't know. I don't get... You fine them or you get rid of them. I don't really get it. But he's no longer there now. Your thoughts on that departure and kind of the bigger picture as far as AEW really dropped the ball with Santana and Ortiz. I know they didn't want to work together anymore, But they were a team for a while, and they never once held those AEW World Tag Team Championships. We're talking about this tournament right now. Oh, who's going to win the titles coming out of this tournament? It really could have been that once upon a time, and it just never really happened. They fell out of, falling out of love with each other. What am I talking about? They kind of had a falling out, and they don't team anymore, and now he's on his own as Santana. So your thoughts on his departure and how AEW used Santana and Ortiz for the time they had them together?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you said, they were definitely underutilized. I'm stunned that they never won tag team gold. I feel like when they first got brought in, that's seemingly where it went, and then it just never really got there. They were part of the Inner Circle. It just felt like they were just like another guy. Like, they were kind of, like, even when FTR was in the Pinnacle, like, I think they held the belts at certain points, but, like, they just seemed like an afterthought. I mean, especially with Santana Ortiz when they were in the Inner Circle. It was just Jericho. Sammy was seemingly that underneath guy that was getting up, kind of getting that kind of rub. But they were just kind of, like, there. And then, like you said, they never won the belts, surprisingly. I felt like when they got called in, especially when they got signed, it was like, are they going to go to WWE? And I feel like at the time they probably could have been pretty decent at NXT, but they went to AEW instead. Never won the belts. Broke up, like just seemingly. They were pushing Santana, which was surprising recently. You said he beat Ortiz. I think he had a couple other matches on his own. They're like, oh, is Santana going to get a push? And then nothing happened. I saw the news that he was not re-signed. So I think they could have been a lot bigger. And like you said, kind of looking at the tag team division now, like the whole company was built off of tag teams, basically. Like they're like, oh, we're going to push tag teams. And right now their tag team divisions couldn't be any weaker than it possibly could be.
And there's some talented teams, but, yeah, I mean, it was a real focus when the company first started in 2019, and it was for a while, probably, I would want to say, until, like, early 2022, and then when they were bouncing the belts around from, like, the Bucks to Keith Lee and Swerve and Jurassic and all these other teams over the course of a couple, I mean, the Jeff Hardy getting suspended really threw that thing out of whack, but the division kind of took a turn for the worse after that, and they still have a lot of really good teams, but it's just not at the same height that it was. And then I say that, the tag team titles just main evented a pay-per-view. But if it wasn't Sting's last match, I guarantee you that would not have been the case. So hopefully they can kind of pick the momentum back up of the division. As far as Santana, I mean, he was a really talented performer. Personally speaking, seems like a good guy. He's a good worker. They were pushing him on his own. In AEW, he was absolutely never going to get beyond a certain level on his own. I applaud the effort, but I can't even say that Tony Khan should have done more with him on his own. I mean, the guy's good. There's a million people on that roster. I want to see pushed over him. They just have a million people on that roster in general. But there's a lot more people that I would want to see pushed on their own over Santana. Or even Ortiz, who was also good, but there's just no plan for him, clearly. So AEW was never really going to work out. If he was really that bothered by teaming with Ortiz and they really can't work it out, him leaving was probably the best case scenario for him. Could you see him in like a WWE, maybe a TNA? I could see that, but WWE, NXT, do you really see Santana there finding a future on his own? Do you think it's worth a shot for them or not really?
He's a good worker, so depending on what you do, I feel like he could be utilized. I guess it really depends on the circumstance. Like, I feel like if you took scripts out of OTM, Santana would fit with them perfectly. Like, he can actually, like, work pretty decently. Or maybe add him to that group and kind of build them up or give him some more, I don't even know what to call it. But, I mean, I feel like that's the only thing I could think of at the top of my head right now. I feel like he'd fit with them well. Like, they are pretty green, and he clearly has worked a lot. So, inserting him with them with him in NXT, the main roster, I have no idea what you do with him right now. But I feel like if you're going to go the NXT route, that's something that kind of just like sticks out and be like, it'd be a perfect person to put with them.
I know they had interest in them when they first left TNA 5 years ago and they went to AEW instead. But, you know, that was 5 years ago and that was when he was with Ortiz and their stock really hasn't been that high since then. So I don't know if WWE would have the same interest. At the same time, though, they have Brian Pillman Jr. there, Alexis King, who really hasn't done a lot. And I like Alexis King, but he's really been a non-factor on that roster so far. He's doing the opening for Roadblock, but that's really about it. Other than that, just losing a lot. And they also rehired Sean Spears. So if they wanted to hire Santana, who probably has a higher ceiling than both of those guys combined, then it might not be a bad idea. Then I'll get back to Sean Spears a little bit later on as far as the stuff that happened last week that I want to get your thoughts on. But as we wind out the AEW stuff here, as far as Dynamite last night, the overall vibe of the show. I didn't love the show. I thought it was a pretty good show. The first hour to me, for whatever reason, they got a new intro, the tunnels are back, that's great. It felt like a WWE show. I don't know, maybe that was just me, and I don't really mean that as like a bad thing necessarily, and I'm not even saying it's a great thing. But like from between the impromptu tag team match, the Christian, I don't know, there was just a lot of like the way the interviews were filmed, just it didn't really feel like Dynamite 2019, 2021 to me. It felt like Raw. Like, and that's, again, not an awful thing because Raw's been a good show lately, but I don't know. It didn't really feel like this turning point of a show. The overall grander picture it is, though, between bringing in Okada and Ospreay and Monet and these other people they're now doing stuff with, capitalizing on the Swerve momentum, which is great. Do you feel like they're hitting the reset button right now with AEW and regaining momentum, which has been lost now for a while? At the same time, though, I asked that question, it kind of feels like they have been for a while, but they have a lot of start and stops. I feel like I asked you that same question 2 months ago, and they didn't really go anywhere. Like, they have all this momentum for a couple weeks, and then it goes nowhere. So just talk about that. And not even, like, the ratings thing. I don't think the ratings are really ever going to change, to be completely honest with you.
No.
But as far as the momentum goes,
Think, on a rating-wise, I think they have their niche audience. I don't think, unless they bring back fucking Bruno Sammartino, I'm just kidding, he'll never fit there, but basically, I don't think they're ever going to get beyond a certain level. Like I said, I just feel like they have their audience. They have, like I said, they have their style, too. Like, to me, it's not, I like some of the stuff, I don't love all of it, and it's not just because I'm, like, a WWE homer or whatever you want to say, but I just, like, I like more story than work rate. Like I said, I think anyone specifically that has decent ability can do all that stuff, but like I said, that's kind of the style today. It's a more of a New Japan style, mm-hmm. Which is great. If you like that, you like that. If you don't, you don't, whatever. It's not kind of harping on anyone, but like you said, I feel like, I don't know, like people were talking about, like, oh, great show. I didn't overly love it. Like I said, I thought the beginning was good between Swerve and Joe. Like, I feel like that's the progression that's going in. I like Swerve, I like Joe, so I was mm-hmm. like, okay, this is a good start. And then the Undisputed Kingdom comes out, I'm like, oh my god. And then, like you said, then, like, they're discussing this tag match. Why, I don't know why they'd want to face Mike Bennett and
Matt
and
Taven
anyways, because who gives a shit about them? And then, of course, Tony. Oh, Tony's in my ear. Match coming up next. Like, mm-hmm. oh, my God. Then they beat him in, like, fucking 5 minutes. Like, no one cares. And then we're going to get Joe and Wardlow next week. Okay, I guess, okay? But, like, clearly Wardlow's not going to win because the next program's clearly Swerve and Joe one-on-one. Because that's where the story's going. Like, I don't know. So, Wardlow's going to lose next week. Seemingly. Mm-hmm. Or there'll be DQ, whatever the fuck. He's not going to beat Joe. I know he's not going to beat Joe. Mm-hmm. And if he beats Joe, it's fucking stupid because this whole point is Swerve versus Joe one-on-one.
Yep.
So, okay. The Christian Edge stuff, I mean, thought we were over with that at World's End. I guess we're still going on with that, whatever. The Young Bucks Elite crap, I just could care fucking less. I don't give a fuck about Okada. I don't care. Like, that's not my style, Elite, whatever. People are like, oh, this is great, then they can do him and Kenny. Oh, okay, but, mm-hmm. like, the Bucks, this whole Nick-less fucking stupid
Matthew,
shit.
Yeah,
it's fucking dumb, if you ask me. It's tiresome, it's whatever. Like, we're EVPs, we're going to start firing people. Like, stop, it's stupid. It's not even good. That's the problem, it's not good. And people lap that shit up. To me, it's awful. And what else happened? I like Jay White. I'm seemingly we're going to get him and Darby. I mean, people talk about Ospreay and, like, how great he is. I feel like people are doing the same thing about Jay White, and he's done fucking dick since he's came in. I like Jay White a lot, but, I mean, he's in this fucking 8-man random group. I don't know what he's really going to do. I mean, I think he's holding the 6-man titles in Ring of Honor?
Yeah, in Ring of Honor, yeah.
Whee! Who gives a shit? And, like I said, I feel like he should be, like, where Ospreay is now, but they, like, he came in, got this huge push, lost every match that mattered, and now he's in a forgettable team. I don't even know what the women did on the show. I don't even recall.
Chris Statlander and Riho, I believe, was the match.
Okay.
Riho won. Yeah,
whatever. Like I said, I thought it was a decent show, but I think the problem is, I feel like you said, it did feel WWE style, and I feel like they're seeing, I mean, specifically what WWE's working right now is, like, there's less wrestling and there's more talking, but the talking works because the people that are talking are important, or stars, or people that care about them. When you do this with people that no one cares about, it doesn't really resonate. So, I mean, like you said, I think it's a good start. People are like, oh, they're back. Oh, they got Okada. Oh, Mercedes Moné's coming. Da, 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 da. It's like, give it some time. Tony's hot Sean right now. And we'll see what happens when it starts, like, when we actually have to start getting some real booking in here. But, I mean, we'll see where it goes from here. People are excited about Okada. Like I said, him with the Elite literally does zero for me. I wasn't really overly impressed with Okada, what I've seen from him in AEW with the whole Forbidden Door shows anyways. I feel like Ospreay feels like he's a bigger star just for what they like. But, I mean, people are like, oh, Mercedes coming and the women's division is going to be amazing now. Is it? Like,
we'll see. I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, I wouldn't hitch my fucking bets to that. But I guess, like I said, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, like I said, people said, like, it was the greatest pay-per-view of all time, greatest Dynamite of all time. I feel like, I don't know, they must be smoking something I wasn't watching. But I like the attempt, like you said. I guess it's like a new era, a new feel. But like I said, I feel like it's very hot shoddy right now. And once we kind of get in, like, the nooks and crannies of booking, we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'll ask you about a lot of the stuff you just mentioned, like the segments and certain people arriving and what they're doing going forward. I mean, listen, I think the thing with me right now, though, is like I was saying with the momentum that the company has, the company does have momentum. Again, bringing in Ospreay, Okada, and Moné, who are three objectively big stars. I mean, again, your dad's not going to know who Okada is. I get it. But, you know, he is a big star, objectively speaking, and he's a big get for that company, as is Ospreay, even more so, I think, than Okada, honestly, at this point, with the ceiling that he has and whatever. And then Monet's obviously great, too. The thing is, I feel like with WWE, we talk a lot, and the narrative has been now for a long time, oh, they're such a hot company right now, and it's translating to the business. You know, overall, we're not just talking, like, the funny thing with WWE is that the shows I actually do thoroughly enjoy. I think the shows are much better now, and if you're saying the shows are as bad now as they were when Vince was running it, then you're just fucking smoking crack. You're just an idiot, and I can't take you seriously.
Wait, you're talking about WWE?
With WWE, yeah.
I feel like their shows last, since Vince has, like, kind of been gone, have been the best they've been in a long time.
Yeah, no, I agree. So the shows creatively have been better, but where they're even thriving even more than that is business-wise, because the creative, I think the creative has had at least somewhat to do with that. Nick Khan's a godsend to that company, obviously, with all the stuff that he's been responsible for and whatever, but it's translated to high attendance, massive house shows, big pay-per-view business, international events. I know I said I didn't really want to talk about the ratings because that shit's just not going to change, but it's true, though. If the week-to-week television in AEW was great consistently, I liked the show last night, and you even said that other people said the show was great, and I saw that, too. If it was that great from week to week, why is the building almost always empty? And I don't want to be harsh here, but, like, the attendance is much further down from what it is. All In did amazing. That was great, and I give them all the credit in the world. But what about every other pay-per-view they run? They're doing Dynasty next month. They're doing another show before Double or Nothing. Okay, cool. What's the attendance looking like for that? Ratings aren't really improving at all. I don't know. I just feel like with AEW, their biggest problem, and WWE was guilty of this at one point, WWE right now is, like, consistently high. Not every Raw's a home run, I'm not saying that, but, like, the business itself, the numbers reflect that, and consistently it's been hot for the better part of a year and a half. With AEW, you'll get a lot of, I guess, momentum is what, people praising the show online on Cage Match or something? I'm not really sure what you would call that. But it only happened for a couple of weeks. And then after Okada comes in, and after Ospreay comes in, and after Moné comes in, what are you doing with these people to maintain that momentum? I have faith with Ospreay. So far, so good, it's only been a few weeks. Okada, I gotta be honest with you, I don't have a lot of faith at this point. And I don't completely hate the Elite, but I said this in the tweet that I put out last night, and I know you agree, and we can agree on this. The Elite nonsense is fucking awful. I'm sorry. I mean, maybe that's just my opinion. But, like, dude, for 5 years now with this company, it was all about it's in the name. I know AEW, All Elite Wrestling, I get it. But, like, they were on the same team. Then they were feuding. They had the melodrama with the Bucks and with Paige and then with Kenny. And then they reunited last year. And then they broke up again. And then Paige and Omega get fired from the Elite. Like, holy fucking shit. We need to stop this. It's just never ending. Like, why can't they all do their own thing without interacting with each other? That's my question. Are we going back on the Hangman heel turn? Is that where we're going to pretend that never even happened? I mean, I can't confirm that because we don't know what he's doing when he comes back. But you would think, based on the segment that we saw last night, that they're building to the Bucks against Page and Omega again. Why? That doesn't make any sense. Omega should go on and do his own thing. I hated Omega with Jericho last year. That was fucking awful. But, like, this isn't much better. And putting Okada in the group, I will say this, as a pro, yes, it gives him a mouthpiece in the Bucks. And two, and I know he knows them and he's probably comfortable with them, whatever. We always figured he was going to AEW, so I'm not saying that's a problem. The WWE thing would have been far more interesting. Like, and like you said, the cool thing is, yes, he also has plenty of feuds coming up with Eddie. They teased last night, probably beating him for that Continental Crown Championship, for whatever that's worth, and facing Omega at some point, probably at All In. Great. It's a match we've seen before, not in a while. I'm looking forward to that. But where are we going from there, dude? And I think my big thing here that I want to ask you, or just tell you, I guess, really, is that coming off of that segment, Okada, to me, big pop when he comes out, turns heel. Everyone's like, oh, so shocking. Didn't see it coming. Doesn't make it good, though. Honestly, to me, I'm sorry. Doesn't make it good. I think it's fucking stupid. I really do. It didn't. To me, he joins the Elite, and he feels like less of an attraction. I feel like people might feel, and again, you're entitled to your opinion here, I feel like people and Tony Khan might feel that putting Okada with the Bucks makes them more bearable and helps them. To me, it hinders Okada. And I feel like you might agree with that as well.
I feel like, yeah, I feel like at the end of the day, it does worse for, it makes him feel, it makes me hate him more than I hate the Bucks. Like, I don't want to see them, so if them associate with them, like you said, I guess it's like heat in a quotation,
yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
They have like go away heat with me.
It's yeah, not,
like,
me too, yeah.
It's not like I like boo them, it's like get the fuck off my TV, it's fucking terrible. So, like you said, I think people, like you said, are excited. It's clearly, what, like you said, people saying like another, a new era, boom period, whatever you want to call it. But like you said, I mean, you're very critical, GSM. I don't watch your lip, but...
I'm trying
like
to be
said,
fair here.
I think
I'm
the
trying
problem
to be
is people say, like, they, I think what they always fall back on, which, I mean, I guess they just keep always falling back to All Out. And it's like, okay, I get it. Great. Amazing. Da-da-da-da. But when it's not, like you said, it doesn't translate week by week. The shows have never done less... Like, you see every week, like, the attendance is down every week. They're not running big buildings either. Mm-hmm. Some weeks they're running pretty small buildings and they can't even get it half full. So, I mean, next week they're going to be in Boston. I saw the reports, around 7,000. I was just there for a house show for WWE and they had about 10,000 people
yeah.
for a fucking house show. So, I mean, I get that. They're trying to get the momentum again, but I don't know what the difference is. Like you said, WWE's kind of thriving right now. Like, they are as hot as they've been in a long time. And, like... Is every Raw great? No, but I don't know what they are doing differently. I just feel like they have a ton of stars, and like you said, they're not even wrestling every week. They're just talking, and people fucking lap that shit up. So I don't know if it's just they have a lot of stars, they just have a lot of interesting people or storylines going mm-hmm. on. Like, I saw the other day, like, is Jey Uso the greatest wrestler ever? No, and that's, I'm a huge fan of his, but they're saying he's the second highest merch seller right now for mm-hmm. t-shirts. He's not even that, like I said, as an in-ring competitor, is he considered one of the best in WWE? Not even probably the top 20. But he is extremely over right now, and that's what works for them. And he's not, doesn't win ever. He loses constantly in the most annoying fashion ever. His fucking dumb brother comes out, his fucking cousin. It makes me want to jump the rail and fight everyone. But guess what? Every week he comes out, he still gets a great reaction. I don't know what they're doing, but it works.
Yeah,
and yeah. I think it might be because they're fans, like you said, like that's what they enjoy, and the stories are there, and it is what it is. But that, I feel like that's the difference. Like, their attendance goes up every week, and they're doing great numbers and buy rates and revenue and all that businessy shit. And hopefully AEW can get there. But I just, like I said, I feel like right now it's everyone's talking about what's coming in, but like the end game, it's just, we haven't seen it. We've seen all this time, like, oh, they brought this person, and they brought this person. Oh, this is the new change. It's the new game changer. Like I said, I just mentioned Jay White. Like, they brought him in, and everyone's saying he's going to be the cat's ass, and he lost all his matches, and now he's in a meaningless group. He's just another one of the boys at the end of the day. So, they just need a... Tony needs to just... I don't know. His booking, just to me, just sucks. There's no... It's just all hot-shotting, big matches, but there's no storyline week to week that makes Dynamite, like, must-see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. Like... People are like, oh, the pay-per-view matches are great. But yeah, but they just, like I said, they just, it's a lot of work rate and yeah. hitting a bunch of moves, and people get fucking giddy for that stuff, I guess. But like, there's no story. Like, Swerve right now is probably, to me, is probably the biggest star in AEW, and it's like, I feel like they're just going to blow right by him. Like, he's starting to lose the momentum a little bit. Like, now he's turning face, kind of. But it's like, I feel like with him, it's like, strike with iron's hot. Like, he's fucking over. Like, do it. Like, I hope that when him and Joe face, he finally beats Joe. But I don't know. I just have, like, a gut feeling they're going to bypass him. And then he's going to be, like, in the Jay White spot. And it's going to suck.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I have enough faith that they are putting the belt on Swerve. I like the fact he lost on Sunday because Sting's moment was really the focal point of the show. That was, I think that was the right outcome, and he can always win at a Dynasty. Why they gave Wardlow a title shot, only to lose on Wednesday, next Wednesday, I don't know, and I don't really want Wardlow to win anyway because it makes no sense right now. That's pretty dumb. He had a great promo a couple weeks ago, and they just, I don't know, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But you're absolutely right, though, and I think the weird thing about it, the mystery with me, is that you're right. The WWE does a lot of promos. I think they've just found a rhythm that works for their shows because it's not the same Raw that we were watching, you know, that you and I were watching together 10 years ago. Like, there's better matches consistently, but there's also better storylines consistently, better promos consistently, and more stars.
I feel like this is a better promotion, too. It's just, like, small. I think they've done, like, the small little things.
Yeah,
Even, like, a casual person will recognize, like, when they, I don't know, insert Liv Morgan, like, she'd be like, oh, Liv Morgan's facing Nia Jax next, because that happened a couple weeks ago. Before they go to commercial, they show, like, three or four little pictures of Liv Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
So even, like, someone like my dad, he's casual as they come. He knows the business a little bit, but he'd be like, oh, clearly they see something in Liv Morgan. They're putting all these graphics on the TV about her. Or the same thing with Becky Lynch or Gunther or Jey Uso. Like, they do this all the time on Raw. It's very small. But to casual people, that just goes to their brain, oh, they must really think a lot about this person. Maybe they're going to push them. Then you see them on the show. Oh, they must be a big deal. Like, it's small presentation things that WWE have done lately that I think resonate with a casual fan. Like, oh, this person's going to be a star. Or, oh, they see something in them. It's just small tactical things that is really, like, making these people that, like I said, aren't stars yet, but, like, they come off as stars or as important.
No, I completely agree, and I think with a lot of these people, those people are stars. It's not like, you said they have a lot of star power right now, and it's not just that they picked these people from the Attitude Era or they brought them back. No, I mean, a lot of these people's momentum was created internally from within the company, from the way they're booked, the way they're presented. Not everyone's booked great. There's a lot of issues I have with various people on that roster. But you're right, though. I mean, people were complaining. We didn't talk about it last week because we didn't speak last week, but Elimination Chamber, oh, there was only an hour and 45 minutes of wrestling on the show on a three-hour pay-per-view. They said 4 or 5 hours. It's like you're including the pre-show that had one match that went 10 minutes. I mean, fucking stop. I mean, the main show, I get. But guess what? That's what the people want to see with WWE fans. I mean, I understand because I enjoy aspects of it as well. The grandeur and the pomp and circumstance. That's what the WWE audience wants to see. They're catering to those people, and it's working. My bigger question is, though, what I don't really understand is that AEW is catering, Tony Khan is catering to the audience that he has. You said, like, the work rate stuff. He's done a great job of that. He's giving people what they want. But there more people aren't tuning into the show. I mean, that to me might just prove it's a niche thing. Like, a niche amount of people care about, and I'm not saying I don't like work rate. I like a lot of these shows, but it's not translating business-wise and momentum-wise. After a couple weeks, it's business as usual. And sometimes a decent Dynamite will be better than a good Raw. I mean, that's just the curve there. But I don't know, man. It's just weird. I mean, they just bring in a lot of people, and like the Okada thing. Ospreay to me right now feels like an attraction. Okada after one fucking night does not. I'm sorry, he doesn't. The Elite thing is awful. The Elite need to go away for a while. And I like Omega and Paige. The funny thing is that Omega and Paige are the two better members of the Elite. The Bucks did a great job on Sunday with Sting, I will say that. But they have go-away heat with me as well. Putting Okada with them, I don't care about that. I'm not going to pay a ticket to go see them next week. I don't give a shit about that. And it's not a heat thing. That's a go-away heat thing for me as well. Them, Jericho, don't even get me started, dude. Like, the whole Hook thing, what are we doing? Like, we have to put Jericho with Hook now? Everything that man touches at this point is cancerous. I mean, it's just
terrible.
Yeah,
everything Jericho touches, he needs to go away. I mean, everything he's touched in the last year has been god-awful.
It's god-awful, and no one really benefits from feuding with him, beating him. Like, I saw someone say, and it's really funny, Jericho's lost a lot and has put no one over. Yet Sting lost to no one and put a lot of people over. By just by Darby by association, matches he had with other people, simply by sharing the ring with Sting. Jericho, again, he loses to a lot of people, but it doesn't mean anything, because I don't really care about anything involving Chris Jericho in 2024. I mean, the scramble match solely existed to...
get Jericho on the show.
Exactly. And then also, you mentioned it before, dude, the Bang Bang Scissor Gang stuff is fucking awful. We don't talk about it at all here on the show, but you mention it, and it kind of rang my memory, jogged my memory. It's terrible.
Whole premise of the group's stupid. The Guns literally broke up from the Acclaim, and now they're back together. It's fucking stupid.
But the thing is, if we're getting to the end game, which I assume we will, of Bullet Club Gold and the Acclaimed and daddy-ass Billy Gunn, why not just do that from the get-go? Why go through the whole rigmarole of having them team for 2 months, doing dumbass segments and promos that accomplish nothing? Oh, they're over. Because what, the audience likes to do the scissoring thing? I mean, this is what I'm saying. Again, maybe wrestling has passed me by, but that shit is stupid, and it's such a colossal waste of Jay White. I'm glad he's facing Darby next week and likely winning. Darby's going to clown Mount Everest, and he's whatever. He probably won't be around. But get this Bang Bang Scissor Gang crap off my TV. It is god-awful. It is really, really bad. Him, Jericho, and the Elite.
It's awful.
It's awful, dude. I'm sorry. There's a lot of stuff I like about the show right now, but that is not one of them. The Cage and Copeland thing, I'm looking forward to the rematch you mentioned. I thought we were done with that. I agree. I knew that we were always headed for another match. I don't have a big problem with this, but I just want to mention this quickly. We had Garcia and Cage on Sunday for the TNT title. I know you're not the biggest Garcia guy. I'm not his biggest fan either, but I've liked what I've seen from him since he turned babyface and split away from the Jericho bullshit. He got momentum. I'm thinking, cool. He's probably going to win the belt. He could benefit from it. And moreover than anything else, Cage and Copeland 3-4, whatever it is, it's technically 4 in AEW because they had that quick match at World's End. It doesn't need the TNT title, but they're doing a match in 2 weeks, seemingly, for the TNT title. Why does Copeland need to be holding the TNT title? He just won it at World's End. I mean, why are we doing this again? Why couldn't Garcia win it? He's out there looking like a loser with his buddy losing a kill switch in 2 minutes. I mean, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, but that's also just like they're doing the teasing, like, oh, if Wardlow beats Joe, he's just going to hand it to Cole. Like, well, they already did this already with MJF,
yep,
and Wardlow.
Yes, we did, yeah.
And we did the same thing with Christian and fucking kill switch, Luchasaurus, whatever. They just did the same thing. Why would you even tease it? Why would you even tease it? That's what I don't get. And like I said, they're pumping up Wardlow. Oh, I'm going to beat anyone. And then they're going to lose next week? Well, that was 2 weeks ago. We caught that promo about how he's like a badass, he's going to win the belt, blah, 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 blah. And then 2 weeks later, he'll lose the fucking Joe. Stupid.
I don't get it, man. There's a lot of good right now in AEW, but there's also a lot of stuff that just doesn't make sense to me. This is not, everyone, oh, restore the feeling. Like, it is not 2019 AEW, at least not to me. I don't know. We were there for Double or Nothing 5 years ago, and it was a great time, special weekend. I was there at All Out even 2 years ago in Chicago when Punk had his first match, and Danielson showed up and shit. And they teased Omega and Danielson last night. Like, it's amazing. It is a fun time to be a fan. I'm not shitting on the company, but we got to put stuff in perspective here. There's a lot of stuff they still need to work on. I'm just kind of curious. We're in a period now where they have momentum, quote-unquote, whatever you want to define that as. Where are we in 2 or 3 weeks? I mean, there's a reason we really don't talk a lot about AEW here, and I don't really ask you a lot about it, because there really isn't a lot to talk about. So, I don't know. We'll find out where we are in a couple weeks. And hopefully, for their sake, I hope they can maintain the momentum. ONA is coming in next week. That's cool. Will Dynasty be a big show? Revolution, I really enjoyed. Dynamite, I thought was good. I didn't think that it was this all-time great show that people thought it was. I won't remember it a week from now. There's still a lot of stuff. It's a small step in the right direction. It's probably the best way I can sum up the last 20 minutes of our conversation here. As we wind down here, Mr. Marceau, I know I didn't talk to you last week here on the show, but your quick thoughts on Chamber and also Sean Spears coming back. I didn't get a chance to ask you about that last week here on the show.
Pop for Sean Spears. Just can't. I just sat my hands. Like, what? Like I said, it's NXT. I won't be too critical on it. It's NXT, whatever. I'll let it slide. Chamber I thought was good. Like I said, I mean, people complain there wasn't a ton of wrestling, but from what I saw, I thought it was a good show. Stratton's fucking, God almighty, put the fucking rocket up her ass. She's fucking amazing. Nia, like I said, I texted you, I thought she has been better. I mean, she's not amazing, but the match with Rhea, I feel like, was one of her better matches she's ever had. Yeah, she's very limited, but I think for what the story that was told, I thought it was a pretty good match. The tag team stuff was kind of in there. The Chambers, I thought they both were good. But I felt like for me, Stratton, her performance, and same with Nia Jax, kind of were the two biggest takeaways from the show.
Yeah, no, though I thought it was a pretty good show overall. The Shawn Spears thing was, you know, the Shawn Spears return, a fine fit on the NXT brand. Good for him getting work. That's great. Keep him off the main roster. Not really necessary. But Chamber, I thought, was a good show. Some other quick things here as I wind down and before I let you go. We got two Hall of Fame inductee announcements this past week. Paul Heyman and Bull Nakano, which really surprised me. I thought she might have already been in. I completely forgot about Bull, but she's going in. And Paul Heyman was expected with it being in Philly. Two worthy inductees. What are your thoughts?
I mean, Heyman, I mean, doesn't surprise me. I mean, I feel like I didn't think he'd go in as a performer, but Philadelphia makes the most sense. So I'm glad to see him go in. Bull Nakano, don't know a ton about her, but it seems like she fits the bill. So I think it's two good noteworthy entries so far.
We talked about it before, so we won't go long here. Just want to make a quick mention of the fact that tomorrow on SmackDown, it's probably going to be made official. Rock and Roman versus Cody and Rollins, night one of Mania for Mania 40. They added the stipulations. If Rock and Roman win, Bloodline rules on Sunday on night two for Rhodes and Reigns. But if Rhodes and Rollins win, no Bloodline. So clearly the heels are winning, I would think. I mean, I guess it could go either way, but I think Rock and Roman are winning. You know, we haven't really talked that much since the Rock promo last week with Roman. I thought that was great. It's headed in the direction we thought it would, but wanted to get an update on your thoughts on how far, as far as how the build has been so far, and if you're enjoying it. And I'm not a big fan of the tag match. I made that quite clear. I really don't think it's necessary, but they're doing it, and it's an attraction, and you know, it should be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, I mean, I think tomorrow night we'll get the official. It's happening. I don't hate it. I don't overly love it, but I don't hate it. Like I said, I guess it gets Rock on the card because he has to be on the card. But I think, like you said, I think the heels would win, obviously, with the stipulation. Bloodline gets involved. I mean, probably see Seth come out, maybe a little Jay come out. Cody will win. We'll get the story. Yay. Eventually, this will lead to Roman Rock split. We'll get them next year. Like I said, I don't think the tag match is necessary. I would have Cody lose that, and then he wins the next night. No reason for Rollins to get pinned before he loses to Drew inevitably. So, no, I mean, I like where it's going, but that's kind of where I see it going.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense, and I think the match will be an attraction. I just don't really think Rock needs to wrestle, like you said. You know, they're doing it, so it is what it is, and I like the tension. You mentioned how Cody will win, yay, but, you know, I'm still convinced there's a pretty good chance Roman will retain, so you better save Roman wins, LOL, in your drafts, as you said.
It's
you
still
a couple
saved.
Weeks.
It's still saved.
Keep it saved, because I get the feeling that it's not set in stone that they're going to have Cody win the belt, but, you know, we'll see that night, too. Last thing, who do you think wins the number one contender's gauntlet next week for the Intercontinental Championship? We got Zayn, Gable, Nakamura, Reed, McDonough, Ricochet. We talked before, I think it's got to be Gane or Zabel. I know you're all in on Zayn and you don't want Gable, but has that changed in the last 2 weeks since I last talked to you, or do you think there's a chance they could do a three-way or have Gable just outright win?
I think it's between Zayn and Gable. I want it to be Zayn. I mean, I saw like the promo there for Gable. Yeah, I made it more serious, but still feeling Zayn. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if it's Zayn, I don't think Gunther has to lose.
I agree.
But yeah, I think if I was putting my money down, it's Zayn or Gable. I'm leaning Zayn. His story's going to WrestleMania. I wouldn't make it a three-way. I'm going with Zayn.
So you're saying don't put my money on Ricochet?
I would. him and JD have a better chance to win than I know.
Yeah, no, I think it's either Zayn or Gable. I want Gable. I've made that clear. You know that I'm a Gable sympathizer, whatever. I'm a baby when it comes to that. I don't mind Zayn. I'm not going to boo Zayn if Zayn wins. I think Zayn winning would be great. Doesn't mean he needs to beat Gunther. And even if he does, that's fine too. I'd love a three-way. I don't think we're going to get one. I don't really want one if they're doing Orton, Owens, and Logan for the U.S. title. So I think a one-on-one match makes sense. And I think Zayn will win. Want Gable? Heart wants Gable. My mind says Zayn. I think Zayn goes over and becomes number one contender. So we'll talk all about that next week here on the show. A lot more to discuss here on WrestleRant Radio. New episodes every single Thursday. WrestleRant.com, WrestleRantRadio.com, iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Podbean, Pandora, and Amazon Music. Rate the show, review the show, subscribe to the show. Never miss new episodes every single Thursday. Mr. Marceau, have a great one. Enjoy the rest of the week, and I'll kick your ass next week. Brother.
Later.
Adios.
Join Graham GSM Matthews and RJ Marceau every Thursday as they run down their weekly wrestling rants, offer expert analysis, host exclusive interviews, and more. Subscribe today on all your favorite podcast platforms and never miss an episode of Wrestle Rant Radio.